Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. What do you want? Short question. Simple question. But a question that everybody has an answer to, whether they're conscious of that answer or not. Everybody can give an answer to the question, what do you want? For most people, their wants are material, experiential, tangible. They want pleasures, possessions, riches, wealth, all of those things that are encompassed in that word we heard in our hymn a moment ago, mammon. Most people want mammon, and they're content, or so they think, if they get mammon. Matthew, about whom we heard in our gospel lesson today, Matthew could have had all of those things. He probably did. He was a tax collector. And you have heard this before, but as a reminder, tax collectors were among the most hated class of people during Jesus' day. They were hated by their fellow Jews because they betrayed their nation in order to collect taxes for their despised Roman oppressors. And furthermore, as the Romans set up their system of taxation, maybe intentionally, the tax collector was afforded many opportunities for dishonesty, thievery, collecting more from those he was taxing than the government required. It was taken for granted in Jesus' day that all tax collectors were crooks. Now, to be fair, we don't know for certain that Matthew was dishonest in his dealings, like Zacchaeus, another tax collector we hear about in the Gospel of Luke. But it's not unreasonable to assume that Matthew had acted dishonestly in his office. Because how many men could actually resist the temptations of that profession, of those associations, of that environment? More likely than not, Matthew was wealthy, and his wealth was not all honestly gained. But having said that, there are some who could resist that temptation, for what they want is something immaterial, intangible. They want things like honor, and praise, fame. Another group of people we heard about in our gospel lesson today, the Pharisees, they wanted that. Though they were also lovers of money, as the Gospels tell us. But perhaps even more than money, they loved the glory that came from men. And so they did all their deeds in order to be seen by others. Jesus says so. Even their religious rites and rituals were a performance, so that others could see and praise them for their good deeds. They loved the places of honor at the feasts, and the best seats at the synagogues. They loved to be greeted in the marketplace. They loved to be given the honorable title of rabbi by others. They so desired the honor of men that they were willing even to despise their fellow human beings, people like Matthew, tax collectors, sinners. But whether you want things tangible, like mammon, or intangible, like earthly honor and praise, the things of this world, both tangible and intangible, cannot and will not bring true contentment, true satisfaction. The world's praise and honor fades and flees. The world's wealth and possessions do not bring contentment. Riches pass away, joys flee. And in the end, none of these things can deliver you from death. What do you want? Too many people, even those who confess themselves to be Christian, want worldly things and seek after such things as their highest good and greatest treasure. If that is you, then repent. Examine your heart today and see what it is you truly want. And if it is something earthly, repent. Lest in pursuing these earthly treasures, you give up the heavenly treasures for things that will ultimately vanish. What do you want? Perhaps the better question for us to consider this morning is, what does God want? What does the Almighty Creator, the God of majesty, He who rules and reigns over all the universe, whose will cannot be resisted, what does God want? Many people speculate over this, but we don't need to. Because Jesus tells us. He tells us in our gospel lesson today. He tells the Pharisee, go and learn what this means. Though literally it means go learn what this is. I desire, or again literally, I want mercy, not sacrifice. What does God want? In a word, He wants you. He wants sinners. He wants to show mercy to you. This is all summed up in the quotation Jesus speaks from the prophet Hosea, I want mercy and not sacrifice. Now, again, a bit of background, and you may remember this. The prophet Hosea was called to a very interesting way of life. God called him to marry a prostitute, a sinful woman, who bore Hosea 3 children and then left him, abandoned him. And yet God told Hosea to go back and redeem this woman, buy her back, and bring her back to himself, to his home, as a new and redeemed woman. In these actions, the Lord God demonstrated His faithfulness to unfaithful Israel. Though Israel committed adultery against the Lord God by idolatry, nevertheless the Lord loved Israel and was merciful to Israel. And so God declared through the prophet Hosea, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. That is, God wants you and all sinners to believe in Him, to trust in Him above all things. He wants a true, strong, healthy faith in you. He wants you to know who He truly is toward you in the gospel. But He is gracious and merciful to you, though you are a poor, miserable sinner. He wants you to trust that He will ever be gracious and merciful to you for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that His love toward you never fails. Therefore, He wants you to turn from all the idolatries of your heart. For apart from true faith in God, sacrifices and burnt offerings do nothing. They mean nothing. God doesn't regard them. Even one's best works are nothing but sin for the unbeliever. That's why God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But for the one who has received God's mercy, the one who has true knowledge of God through faith, all things are pure, including sacrifices and burnt offerings and the works of their hands. For God is so well pleased with those who trust in Him that He doesn't regard their sins any longer. He dwells with them in mercy. God wants mercy for you. God, as we also heard, wants you to follow Him. So Jesus spoke to Matthew, calling him from his tax booth. And then, as Jesus goes on to say, He came not to call the righteous, that is to say, those who think themselves to be righteous, the self-righteous, but rather He came to call sinners. He came to call sinners to repentance, to turn from their wicked ways, and yes, to follow Him. Christ Jesus came into the world for this purpose, to save sinners. This is His utmost desire. Again, this is what He wants. And so a little bit later on in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus teaches in 2 very short parables that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Our Lord Jesus so wanted you and your salvation that He came to earth to call you to Himself, and He was willing to give everything that He had, even His holy, precious blood, His innocent suffering and death, His very life. Our Lord was willing to give all that up so that He could purchase and win you. God wants mercy. Therefore, He sacrificed Himself that you might receive mercy that you might turn and follow him. That happens through the hearing of the gospel. Our Lord calls you by the gospel. As we heard in our epistle lesson today, that you might hear the gospel, he has sent you the gift of the word and those who proclaim the word. Our Lord's love, our Lord's mercy, our Lord continues. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, gifts like the apostles, like Matthew, and evangelists like Matthew, the prophets, and the pastors and teachers. And the purpose of these gifts, Paul writes, is to equip you, do work, to build you up, so that you would all attain unity of faith and spiritual maturity, that you would come to the knowledge of God, which you remember through the prophet Isaiah is what God wants from you, his knowledge. Christ calls you to follow him. And just as he called Matthew to follow him and then went to eat and drink with him, his fellow tax collectors and sinners, so also God wants you to dwell with him and eat and drink with him. Something we are very blessed to do in just a little while this morning, as we will kneel at this altar, as we will eat the bread that is Jesus' body, drink the wine that is his blood, we will eat and drink with our Lord Jesus Christ, with our brothers and sisters in the faith, with the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven. We are not worthy to do this in ourselves. We confess ourselves to be poor, miserable sinners. Nevertheless, we come at his invitation. For again, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He ate and drank with tax collectors and sinners. And he wills to eat with you this very morning and drink with you in the sacrament of the altar. If you this morning feel the guilt of your sins, if you recognize that you have been wanting, desiring things that are passing away, things that are fleeting, things that accomplish nothing, and have neglected the true heavenly treasures, if you are sorry for your sins, then you should receive this sacrament. For the Lord Jesus instituted this supper for the very purpose of forgiving your sins and strengthening your faith, keeping you in that faith unto life everlasting. Through the means of grace, the word, and the sacrament, our Lord Jesus comes to us, and he changes our hearts so that we would not desire things of this world that are fading away, but rather seek after the true treasures of heaven. As those who have followed Christ, as those who have been shown mercy, as those who eat and drink with him, what should you want? What do you want? Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't seek after earthly wealth. It doesn't even abide here on earth, and it certainly won't do you any good when you die. Think about what happened to all those denarii collected by Matthew and his fellow tax collectors. Forgotten, buried in the dirt, maybe collected together and put into a museum. What happened to his tax booth? Torn down, crumbling. Even the city of Capernaum now is but ruins. What about earthly honors? What happened to all those honors sought by the Pharisees and the scribes? It vanished into thin air. Synagogues, again torn down, but rubble and ruins. The feasts, the banquet halls, that food has long since been digested, passed through the body, or molded, rotten, gone away. The best seats, they're gone. And all those earthly titles, rabbi, teacher, leader, they meant nothing now. Earthly honor, it doesn't last either. Seek the fruit that abides. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You desire, as a Christian, desire Jesus, for he and he alone abides. Matthew did. Matthew followed Jesus at his command. And as we heard, he became an apostle and an evangelist. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write a gospel that is read in thousands of languages all around the world. And that book will continue to be read until the end of time. More than that, as Jesus said, more than that, Matthew rejoiced because his name was written in heaven. Leaving behind his tax booth and all that wealth he'd acquired to follow Christ, Matthew received even 100-fold more in eternal life. This is true for you also and for all who follow after Jesus. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As a Christian, you just sang it. Jesus is your treasure. Is your life, your health, your wealth, your friend, your love, your pleasure, your joy, your crown, your all, your bliss eternally. And if that's the case, if that's true, if Jesus is your treasure, then your heart is with him, guarded and kept by him. Your name is written in his book of life in heaven, written in ink that will never fade away, indeed written with his holy precious blood. Dear Christians, you have a treasure that endures. You have an honor that lasts. The honor of being called sons of God, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. The treasures of heaven are yours for Jesus' sake. Receive these in faith. For your Lord wants to give them to you. He wants mercy. He wants you. He's claimed you as his own. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.